Our guest today says everything is counting down and that God is going to turn things upside down. Learn how next.
We're seeing pastors who will not address political issues which shape the very family stability of those who attend their churches. Pastors won't speak to the issues of abortion. They have somehow concluded that it's a political issue. Or the issue of gender. They've said now that's a political issue, as though they are to remain neutral or out of it. Yet I understand the Bible to say the exact opposite. The pastor in a local pulpit, in a local community, should be the clarion voice of righteousness to that area, and we're not seeing it happen.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell. Jen meets this hour with Pastor Jack Hibbs. From Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, Pastor Jack also hosts a nationally syndicated program, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Jack's been Jan's frequent radio guest and has been featured at annual Understanding the Times conferences. Jack Hibbs is here to discuss with Jan themes that bring the focus of Christ's coming into today's reality. To get the program started, here's Jan Markell.
And welcome to the program. You know, we look at news, views, truths from a decidedly biblical perspective to help you understand the times, contend for the faith, become watchmen on the wall. And I'm so glad to welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio today Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Jack has spoken at a couple of my conferences and will be with us again this fall, Saturday, September 29th. A lot is going on in the world, and Pastor Jack's says everything is counting down, which sounds a bit like my frequent statement, everything is falling into place, nothing is falling apart. He also says God is going to turn things upside down. I hope that's an appropriate tease for you to stick around for the hour. We'll talk about these issues and much, much more. We're going to start with a little bit of a review from last year, and then we're going to look ahead. I'm going to give you contact information as we move along. Pastor Jack, welcome back to Understanding the Times.
Well, Jan, thank you, and it's so great to be with you again and to be part of your voice that you are spreading across the nation. Much needed.
Well, right now it's a frozen voice because you're in lovely California. I'm in bitter cold Minneapolis, St. Paul, and I think the wind chill is about minus 40, but we're inside, not outside. I want to talk a little bit about the new climate, speaking of temperatures, the new climate in the White House. Now, as I do that, Jack, I just want to throw this in so I can get your response, because I think what happened, I'm going back a year now because I'm trying to look back here a little bit before we look forward, that righteous people were worn out from being called bigots, homophobic, transphobic, Islamophobic. There was no firm voice willing to contend with this narrative. Then the transgender bathrooms came along, and that was the last straw, and many simply turned to a more conservative team in Washington. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong at all, Jan. In fact, the data that is being examined still, post-election data after 1 year by the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., is now showing that there's a much greater majority of evangelicals that turned out to vote than previously expected, and Americans who were not quite involved in the voting process before. You are correct. There's been a pushback. We are grateful for that. And we're seeing a tremendous, as you said, difference of atmosphere and policy in Washington. And I've had the privilege of speaking with and praying with some of those individuals, Jan, and the news coming out of the Pentagon, out of the CIA, out of the White House itself is extremely encouraging.
It is, and we can reference that in a bit too. But before this topic gets away from me, Jack, is you have been outspoken. Well, you're outspoken in a lot of ways, but you've been vocally upset with a lot of pastors. They don't want to get involved in the voting process, and yet what time in history has it been more important to get involved in the voting process? Just look at 2016.
Jan, you're right. I do feel like I'm banging my head against the wall out here in California, and in some respects across the nation, we are seeing pastors who will not address political issues, which shape the very family stability of those who attend their churches. Pastors won't speak to the issues of abortion. They have somehow concluded that it's a political issue, or the issue of gender. They've said now that's a political issue, as though they are to remain neutral or out of it. Yet, I understand the Bible to say the exact opposite. The pastor in a local pulpit in a local community should be the clarion voice of righteousness to that area, and we're not seeing it happen. It's your prayer, it's my prayer that revival will come, and if it does come, it's going to first start in America's pulpits.
You're right, and part of the breakdown in America is thanks to America's pulpits, and I've heard you say that, so we're on the same page here with that. Looking at some other issues of the past year, and we're into 2018 now, we're second weekend of 2018, but I don't want to let 2017 quite go yet. We've had some extremely interesting things happen. As we speak, there's talk of possibly scrapping the Iranian deal. That was the talk of the month of December. Jack, we've seen almost an end to ISIS. I mean, Mideast Christians can actually have a life now. I think that's one of the most significant stories of all time.
Yeah, it's one of the most significant of all time, and that's no exaggeration, and yet it's one of the least reported, which is sad. Yes, listen, in that part of the world, people are beginning to breathe fresh air again. This is a huge victory. I believe, Jan, it's part of a momentary reprieve, perhaps much like our election, much like this last year of 2017. What's happening with ISIS? There seems to be a little bit of a pause and some good news. You know, Jan, you and I and many others have been praying that God would hear in mercy our prayers. And maybe this is a break. Maybe this is a pause. But the Middle East, at this moment, though it's sitting as though it were on a powder keg with Iran and other issues, thank God that ISIS is being severely dealt with.
And we've got Iran. And I'm going to get into some eschatological issues in just a bit, so I don't want to quite go there yet. But as we speak, and I don't think we quite know where this Iranian uprising is going to be headed, because thanks to Barack Obama, the Iranians got billions of dollars from Barack Obama to further the terrorist agenda, and the people in Iran are begging for freedom, are begging to get rid of this mollocracy. I don't know if they're going to be successful or not in the process. So many are being killed or wounded. We need to be praying, and I think another angle, Jack, and I just read it this morning, the untold story of Iran is the number of believers that are coming to faith in Iran. It's astronomical.
I don't know how much our listeners are aware of this, Jan, but it's probably second to China.
Yes.
The amount of converts that are taking place in Iran is literally, you use the word astronomical, it is unbelievable at what's taking place. People are coming to Christ. They can't keep up with it all. They're trying to document it. Islam, Jan, I've said this before to you privately. I'll say it again now publicly. I believe Islam is in its closing chapters. I believe Islam is imploding from within. It has no Bible. It has no promise. It has no God. Islam is nearing its end. And when you've got areas or regimes like Iran imploding from the inside, the amount of people becoming believers, I just believe that is one more profound indicator that the rapture is imminent. When you see that many people in China, in Iran, coming to Christ, something's up. It's going to be big. I don't know exactly what it is. I do hope it's the rapture, but we're going to see something profound in short order.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from sunny California, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. You can learn a lot more at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I encourage you to go there. Check out the audio and the video. Jack also has a radio ministry across the country, but you can learn all of that and more at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Let me just cite a few more things that I think are prominent. Well, in the past, because we're into the new year now. Jack, Nikki Haley is an absolute breath of fresh air. Did we ever think it could be that and fantastic at the United Nations? With her position, the rest of the UN is still totally bankrupt, but not Nikki Haley.
Well, it's amazing, too. Not only Nikki Haley, who loves the Lord, Nikki Haley, who is fearless. I've nicknamed Nikki Haley our modern-day Deborah.
Yes,
she is
you have.
A warrior princess yep. of an ambassador. But listen, the inspiration that she brings to the world, the inspiration that she's bringing to democracy, to women, is incredibly refreshing. And truth. She's not afraid to speak the truth. She does it kindly and gently, but people know at the UN and around the world that what she says she means. Nikki Haley is one of those remarkable appointments that Trump mm-hmm. has put in place. And I tell you what, she continuing to do a great job. And one of the things that you and I share, Jan, is the fact that she loves Israel.
Yes.
And Israel
yes.
loves Nikki
yes.
Haley.
Let me just give a short illustration here. It's a minute and a half of Nikki Haley telling off the UN as only she can do.
The United States is by far the single largest contributor to the United Nations and its agencies. We do this in part in order to advance our values and our interests. When that happens, our participation in the UN produces great good for the world. Together, we feed, clothe, and educate desperate people. We nurture and sustain fragile peace in conflict areas throughout the world. And we hold outlaw regimes accountable. We do this because it represents who we are. It is our American way. But we'll be honest with you. When we make generous contributions to the UN, we also have a legitimate expectation that our goodwill is recognized and respected. When a nation is singled out for attack in this organization, that nation is disrespected. What's more, that nation is asked to pay for the privilege of being disrespected. In the case of the United States, we are asked to pay more than anyone else for that dubious privilege. Unlike in some UN member countries, the United States government is answerable to its people. As such, we have an obligation to acknowledge when our political and financial capital is being poorly spent. We have an obligation to demand more for our investment. And if our investment fails, we have an obligation to spend our resources in more productive ways.
Well, telling it as it is, basically saying we got to have more for all the billions we give to you folks. We got to have a better return on our investment. So appreciated her comments there. Again, going back to some things that happened in the previous year that I'm kind of still stunned at. Mainstream media kind of got what it deserved last year. And Jack, I think that some of the scandals that have been going on here in the last year, well, I think they reveal that society has pretty much descended into a Romans 1 mentality, a 2 Timothy 3 culture as well, though that's more applied to the church, but certainly Romans 1 with the depraved mind and the depraved culture.
Well, Jen, can I add this spin to it?
Yeah.
And allow me, if you would, to be intentionally sarcastic
yeah.
just a moment. Yeah, isn't it amazing? The world is calling out the world for their sexual misconduct mm-hmm. and their inability to manage money. And yet, isn't it the world that says there is no God, that there are no Ten Commandments? How can we hold, as a culture, these people accountable for their sexual escapades when we teach kids that they're nothing but animals?
That's right.
That they're byproducts of an evolutionary byproduct of chance, and that it's the survival of the fittest. If it feels good, do it. And then we tell people that it's wrong for them to cheat on people or rob people or abuse people. I hope the world is beginning to wake up to the bizarre hypocrisy that they want morality without God. They want standards, but without the standard giver. It is truly, Jan, an insane moment of good evil and evil good, mm-hmm. unlike a time I've ever seen in my 60
yeah.
years.
Yeah. Talking to Jack Hibbs for the hour, Pastor Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. One of my conference speakers coming up Saturday, September the 29th. Jack, here's what I wrote this couple of paragraphs in a year-end review for my e-newsletter, and I said this. I said, there's even more evidence that only Jesus ruling and reigning from Jerusalem will provide great government. It has become evident that mankind cannot drain a swamp filled with alligators and poisonous snakes. Washington is corrupt to the core because man's heart is desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17:9. Draining the swamp was a great campaign slogan, but 2017 showed us that man first has to have his heart made new. And then I said, we can focus on the size of the times, S-I-G-H-S, size of the times, rather than realize they are signs of the times. And again, the pieces of the puzzle continue to fall into place. Nothing's falling apart. It's all falling into place.
Yeah, Jan, and just to add to that, I have a little bit of glimmer of hope. And after spending so many years in Washington, I had about given up. But I can tell you and your listeners that for the first time, in fact, we're indebted to Vice President Mike Pence, a born-again believer who loves the Lord, did a little research, Jan, and found out that according to national records, there are more Bible studies and prayer meetings taking place under this administration at this time in various departments of state than at any other times since the founding of our nation, including George Washington's time. This is remarkable. Having heard what you just said, man's heart is the problem. If there is a revival going to happen in America, it's got to be a revival of the heart back to God. And I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but we all have to realize that we're at least a step in the right direction when Bible studies are taking place in our nation's capital or in the White House itself is quite encouraging. Every believer ought to be on their knees more and praying more for God to have his will for our nation.
Well, you and Amir Sarfati were on air with me. It was the weekend before the election. I think it was like two, 3 days before the election. All you guys were saying back then, November of last year, was, you know, let's look at party platform. If we don't care to look at candidates, let's look at party platform and see which party is cheering for destroying babies and homosexual marriage, which part, and then let's see what the other party represents. And you were just cautioning people to look at party, not necessarily candidates.
Oh, no, you're exactly right. In fact, I was very outspoken, got a lot of criticism in California and across the states, and I was happy to do that. Here's the reason why. People wanted to blame me for endorsing Trump. I never endorsed Trump. I just wound up looking at the policies of the platforms and what they believed in, and I applied what God gave me years ago. I call it the Trinity of Truth. That particular candidate's support for Israel, the unborn, and for traditional marriage. You look at that, and you can determine how the rest of the decision-making is going to go regarding that particular politician. And so I simply lay that out before the believers here in California, and I never read Trump's tweets. I didn't even look. I didn't look at his hair. I didn't look at Hillary's campaign. I didn't have to. I just looked at the direction of the party and the direction of what that candidate has been leaning toward, and I voted based upon my biblical worldview. And you know what? Here we are, Jan, a year later. Yeah. And at least Jack here in California voted in the right direction because it honored God.
Well, in the last year, we've seen abortions diminish considerably, drop just considerably. And, of course, praise the Lord, the addition of some conservative judges on the appeals court and Neil Gorsuch. I think we're going to see more conservative judges. And this bodes just tremendous things for America.
Yes, agreed. And you know, Proverbs announces to us that when the righteous are in power, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan.
Jack, what I want to do when we get back in my second segment of the hour, I've got some quotes from you that I want you to kind of unpack a little bit. I've got you saying, quite frankly, you're saying we're in the opening throes of World War III. That's quite a profound statement that needs a little explanation. I've heard you say in some of your messages, everything is counting down. I've heard you say God is going to turn things upside down. And of course, the one I love the most is that we're not sensationalists and we're not skeptics. We're watching the stage being set. I want to talk to you about some of those and another couple of quotes in my second segment coming up. Folks, I'm going to take just a couple of minutes for a timeout, and then I'm going to return with Jack Hibbs. Again, get acquainted with Jack online, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. He's on radio across the country. You'd have to look that up online as well, or get in touch with Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, to find out just where his program airs, if it's in your neighborhood or not. Don't go away. Don't touch your dial.
As Jan has already mentioned, Pastor Jack Hibbs will be coming to our next Understanding the Times conference this fall. Plan to come hear Pastor Jack in person on September 29th in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. So save the date now. You'll hear more details in weeks to come. Here's another reminder to download a copy of today's program. Just visit our radio archive page at olivetreeviews.org. Or to order your own recording of this broadcast, phone 763-559-4444. Each weekend on over 800 radio stations coast to coast, this program encourages our listeners with the truth of the gospel. We invite you to join thousands of others as our financial partner. You help us deliver the message of hope in Jesus Christ. Please send your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Coming up, more conversation with Pastor Jack Hibbs right after this.
Just a heads up here to save the date for Understanding the Times 2018. This year we will gather at Grace Church just outside Minneapolis on Saturday, September 29th, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Speakers include Amir Sarfati from Israel, Pastor Jack Hibbs from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, Pastor J.D. Farag, Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii, and Pastor Billy Crone from Sunrise Baptist Church in Las Vegas. They will help you discern the times and make sense of today's chaotic headlines. They will help you see that today's headlines are not harbingers of doom, but rather signs of our redemption. That's Understanding the Times 2018, Saturday, September 29th, near Minneapolis, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. We'll give you updates right here on this program, online at olivetreeviews.org, or through our print and e-newsletter. Save the date and don't be left behind.
In today's world, who do you trust for good insight on current events? For that matter, who do you trust for good Bible commentary? America is full of fake news and false teaching. That's why we want to offer you an alternative to both. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, and our main objective is to tell you the truth about current events as they relate to a biblical worldview. Join us each week on this station for a source you can trust.
And when I look at the world in 1933, 35, 38, the very dynamics, Jan, that were happening then are happening again. The economic issue of global entities, the political destabilization, the rise of dictatorship personalities, the issues of it being something spread across the globe. Of course, back in those days, we had Japan in the deep Pacific and we had Hitler in Europe. What we see right now forming, Jan, is if you were to take the dynamics and put them on an overlay prior to World War II, the tracking is remarkable.
On today's Understanding the Times broadcast, Southern California senior pastor Jack Hibbs, founder of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Jack's teachings are heard on many international radio stations in Europe, the Middle East, Africa, Australia, and throughout the Hawaiian Islands. He's best known for his passionate expositional preaching. Let's return now to Pastor Jack and Jan Markell's discussion of the importance of eschatology.
Welcome back. Remember, I try to stay in touch with you, my audience, best I can. I do so with both a print and an e-newsletter. You can visit our Facebook page, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries. Follow us on Twitter, Olive Tree Men. And this program is posted to my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Every Saturday, some of you are in and out, you're racing around, you catch only half the program. Get it online, olivetreeviews.org, or become a CD subscriber and get every program sent to you twice a month on CD. You got to call us on that. I am talking for the hour with Pastor Jack Hibbs, and you've heard him before various places, including a couple of my conferences. And we've been talking about some of the highlights and actually a couple of lowlights from 2017. I teased a little bit saying I wanted to pick up on some quotes I made of Jack, because I watch him online. I mean, real life with Jack Hibbs. I watch him online. And Jack, you've said recently, we're in the opening throes of World War III. Now, we got various scenarios. We got North Korea, we got Middle East, we've got Iran, we've got Israel, we've got Russia, we've got turmoil. But what do you mean that we're in the opening throes of World War III? That's a quote from you.
Yeah, I do believe that, but I do not say that for sensational sake. Yeah. I say that because I'm an amateur historian. I love history. And when I look at the world in 1933, 35, 38, the very dynamics, Jan, that were happening then are happening again. The economic issue of global entities, the political destabilization, the rise of dictatorship personalities, the issues of it being something spread across the globe. Of course, back in those days, we had Japan in the deep Pacific and we had Hitler in Europe. What we see right now forming, Jan, is if you were to take the dynamics and put them on an overlay prior to World War II, the tracking is remarkable. Okay. And so that's what I mean by that. My statement is based upon historical analysis. And we are ratcheting up the tactics, the threat of two different theaters of war right now. The Middle East, predominantly being provoked by Iran, Persia, and North Korea, and what's happening over there. A simultaneous, and Jan, I believe what I'm saying right now, I personally believe, I have no inside information, but 3 years ago I gave a study, an update on what I believe would happen. Remember, 3 years ago, Obama was the president, our military had reached a all-time post-World War II deficiency, which currently we're trying to climb out of, that if I were the enemy of America, I would attack before America could get strong again militarily. I believe that those enemies of ours anticipated a Hillary Clinton election that would have bought them more time.
Yes.
Things changed. And so if you look at that, what happened in the last 14 months, North Korea and Iran have really ratcheted up the intensity of creating war. Why? Because America is tired. America has been at war 15 plus years in the Middle East with Afghanistan and Iraq. And if you're going to do anything to establish the defeat of America or the disablement of America, that's all they have to do is disable us, then Israel is a sitting duck, so they think. And so I just believe that there's going to be a simultaneous move with North Korea and Iran in the respective theaters of war to draw the United States away from defending Israel or to deplete the United States while we are in this current military weakened position. So I do believe that.
Well, Iran sort of is a look how it's moved into the Middle East in the last year, thanks in part to things Barack Obama did. Barack Obama wanted Iran to be the primary player of the Middle East. That's insane, because clearly, and then are funding Iran to take out the little Satan Israel, the big Satan America. Barack Obama funded them to destroy Israel and to destroy America. I mean, it doesn't get any more bizarre than that, Jack.
Well, Jan, again, let me be sarcastic. Why would a president give billions of dollars to ever since 1979, Iran has been an enemy of the United States. Why would a president give them billions of dollars? To believe a story that we're going to use this for nuclear power and to help our economy? It did not help their economy. Thus, Jan, at the time of you and I speaking, there's rioting going on in Iran. The nation, the people are rising because they're hungry. And why would an American president do such a thing? It's absolutely either calculated. I don't believe that Barack Obama was dumb. I don't believe that he was stupid. This had to be a calculated decision. We may never know the reason why, but thank God our God knows the reason why. And I believe that the stage is being set.
Now, another thing you've said is everything is counting down. So I can throw that quote kind of into what you've just summarized here, because it's counting down in the Middle East. It's counting down as far as wars and rumors of wars certainly escalating. It's counting down as it concerns perhaps the Gog Magog a little later. We can touch on it now. It doesn't matter. But explain to me what you meant. Everything is counting down.
Yeah, listen, this is what I mean. And this is one reporter's opinion, friends. This is my view. But when I read my Bible from Genesis to Revelation, I see everything in my Bible bringing time to a conclusion, bringing human governments to a conclusion, mm-hmm. bringing sin and death to a conclusion, bringing all of it to a conclusion. That conclusion for the believer is called the day of God, or we call it eternity. It is when, for us as believers, everything begins. But you notice, the Bible writes in advance, it's called eschatology, it's called prophecy. The Bible tells us in advance what is going to happen. So when we look and see these things begin to happen, Jesus, remember, said, oh, don't worry about it when you see these things. I mean, look up, your redemption draws near, but all these things are the beginning of sorrows. The end is not yet, which means there is an end. Everything is counting down. I mean everything. I view my own personal walk as ultimately coming to a point where God is done with me in this world. I have finished my course, and then my real life begins. And that's true among nations. It's true among the environment. It's true among the heavens. It's true among science. Everything is going from a position to a conclusion.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here talking to Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Jack's one of my speakers, Understanding the Times 2018, Saturday, September 29th, along with Amir Sarfati, Pastor Billy Crone, Pastor J.D. Farag from Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii, and Pastor Hibbs will be with me for the day, Saturday, September the 29th. You might want to mark your calendar. Grace Church, Eden Prairie, that's right outside of Minneapolis. Okay, move on to a couple of other quotes I've heard you say. Again, folks, I follow Jack online, or some of you follow him on radio. Either way, you'll get his messages or his video messages with Real Life with Jack Hibbs. God is going to turn things upside down. What do you mean by that?
This is what I mean by that. I believe that God is working in every area of life. Number one, regarding the church, I believe God's at work with his true church. He's purifying her. He's getting her ready to meet him. And so with that, I mean that God is turning things upside down. Whatever the status quo has been, God is going to be shaking that up. Scripture says that judgment must first begin at the house of the Lord. And I believe God is doing that. That shouldn't scare us. That should prepare us. We need to be hanging on to the Lord, staying in the Word. When you look at the nations, look, Jan, borders, nations, there's a big movement about borderless nations, about a one world. One world unification, because none of those things work. Hey, that's taking the status quo and turning it on its ear. Regarding economy, the push, look at, Jan, there are cultures, there are nations that are moving to a cashless numerical society right now. That's what I mean by that. We're looking at people who are saying no longer male, female. It's whatever you want. In fact, here in California, on January 1st, you now get to determine on legal documents whatever your gender selection or this is interesting, or option might be. What does that mean? You can pick your gender now in California on a legal document or an option. We don't know what that means yet. What does that dial down to? The fact that everything, in my opinion, is being shaken. And for the believer, what is going to remain is what is of God, and you want to be on that side of the Lord. But the things that this world is promoting are completely being turned on its ear, upside down.
Another quote I have from you is, and this probably concerns more of the eschatological topic, Bible prophecy, that we're not sensationalists, nor are we skeptics. We're just watching the stage being set. And we've now just spent about, half an hour or so talking about some of the ways the stage is being set. Many people do get sensationalistic with this topic. And others, of course, we've got incredible scoffing and mocking and the church silent. So we're trying not to be either one of those categories, but we are watching the stage being set.
That's why I think it's very important how we position our statements. For example, when the Bible says something clearly, we need to state that clearly and with boldness, unwavering. When we see things, for example, that are beginning to indicate, I would say, stage setting, increase in earthquakes and greater earthquakes. It doesn't mean the end of the world's tomorrow. It means that the Bible says, you know, in the last days there's going to be an increase in earthquakes. It's stage setting. What we want to be careful about is being of the group, for example, that says, well, you know, I had this dream last week, and then I opened my Bible, and this was the verse, and so the rapture is going to be next Tuesday at 2 o'clock, or this is what's going to happen, the world's going to end on such and such a day. Listen, Jan, that breeds mockers. That breeds scoffers. What we want to do, and I'm so grateful, Jan, to you, and on behalf of a nation of believers, we're grateful for you, Jan, because you have all these years rightly done that. We want to talk about the scripture, we want to say what is happening biblically and what could happen biblically, and we want to say things like, this could be the setting up of. But for us to say, this is it tomorrow at 2 o'clock, we go from being reasonable and believable to sensational, and nobody wants to hear that anymore, and I'm actually glad for that. We want to be accurate. God is accurate. God is not sensational. And at the same time, we want to be skeptics. We don't want to throw everything out because somebody said that God would come back in 1988, so I'm not going to read Bible prophecy. That would be very unfortunate. We want to be biblically based in a biblical worldview, and we want to remember that 27%+ of the Bible is eschatological for a reason.
Pastor Jack, we've kind of gone through this. I'm going back to 2017 now, and we have kind of looked at 2017 off and on here throughout the hour, but we had a little bit of a repeat of this. Last time you were on air with me, and it would have been several months ago now, and we discussed the September 23rd phenomenon, and look, I don't want to raise that issue again in any kind of a controversial way. I know some believers that felt that September 23rd was going to be a milestone for the world and the church, and they're very well-meaning, they're sincere, but again, Jack, that kind of predicting, again, caused some skeptics, and I think that's the point you're making.
That's exactly the point, exactly the point. In fact, Jan, from those issues, I launched an online TV called Happening Now, and we're going to continue those. I did 3 months of those, one Wednesday a month, and I let the people vote on should we continue this. My purpose for bringing it to the audience was to answer these skepticisms or these sensationalisms with doctrine, and then reviewing world view events in light of doctrine, and then a Q&A period. Mm-hmm. Jan, it resulted in such a tremendous global and national response online that we're going to bring those up again in January. And why? People were writing us from around the globe saying, thank you for letting us know this logically, biblically, sensibly. It gives me calm and excitement about looking at the Word of God. That's our motive. So we want to be careful, but we want to be prophetic, and we can be successful in that as long as we stay biblical.
Now, can folks access Happening Now at Real Life with Jack Hibbs, or do they just go to YouTube?
They can do either one, Jan. It's either way. You can put Happening Now, Jack Hibbs, and it will pop up all over the web, and we're grateful for the response.
Okay, great. And then I think the last quote, and then we'll head in the closing segment. I want to head into some eschatological Bible prophecy thoughts for the new year. And the last quote is, I love it, stop thinking this life is all we have. The end is just the beginning. We are about to enter eternity when we really live. So many are clinging to this earth, Jack. I'll never understand it, but they do.
Jan, listen, that I can actually hear myself again as you just read that. Listen, I live just down the road from some of the world's most famous amusement parks, Disneyland being one of them. And, you know, sometimes you see Christians more excited to go to Disneyland than to go to church. There's so much here in Southern California. Jan, while you're freezing, we went to the beach on New Year's Day.
Really?
You know, it's amazing, okay? It's amazing. Here's the deal. As amazing as it is, this ain't our home. We're going to go home to Jesus, and we need to remember something. This world is at odds with God. Mm-hmm. This world hates our God. This world hates us. This world would kill us if it has a chance to do so. And that we are not bedding down, as it were, or building our mansions here on earth. We are passing through, and what we do for Jesus is the only thing that is going to translate into that heavenly economy. It won't be dollars, and it won't be gold, and it's not going to be silver. Everything that we do for the kingdom's sake will be translated, exchanged into a heavenly economy when we stand before the Lord. And so we need to remember that no matter what goes on, Look, the stock market's at an all-time high right now, and people are clicking their heels.
Yep.
Hey, you know what? Tomorrow, it could be all gone. But what we do for Jesus will last forever.
Well, I want to transition when we get into our last segment. And here's a couple of areas I'd like us to hit on, Jack. And my next segment is a little bit shorter. But I just read in the Times of Israel this morning, as a matter of fact, that folks in Israel are wondering if the ultimate deal is going to be made by Donald Trump in 2018, assuming that would be a deal in the Middle East of some kind. We hear a lot today about peace and security, peace and safety. That's taken right out of, I think it's taken out of First Thessalonians. That's probably debatable. Again, we've referred to the Mideast alignment. There's certainly some intriguing alignment going on. We're watching Damascus. And I think, again, and I've heard you say, you know, Israel cannot make a mistake in the new year. She can't let Syria, she can't let Iran, she can't let North Korea, she can't let any rogue nation make any kind of an attack on her, which is probably a sure thing. There's going to be a war in the Mideast in 2018. And, you know, listeners sometimes say, well, that's far away. It doesn't affect me. Wrong. It will affect you in a very serious way. When I get back, Jack, what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about a few of these things and get your take on, I mean, is it possible we have an ultimate deal in 2018? Donald Trump, well, he says he can do the art of the deal. He's got Jared Kushner over there talking particularly with Saudi Arabia's young king. I'm not sure if he's number one in chief yet, but he's going to be. And they, I'm told, have a tremendous relationship, which in itself is intriguing. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
You can listen to more from Pastor Jack Hibbs on his program, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. It's available on many stations across America. Check your local listings for time and station. Or for more information, Google Real Life with Jack Hibbs to visit the program's website. We like to stay in touch with you through the week. We do that through our website, olivetreeviews.org. There you can listen to past programs. There you can sign up for our newsletters, our e-news alerts, or our daily news headlines. It's all found at olivetreeviews.org. We'd welcome your financial partnership. We'd welcome your tax-deductible gifts addressed to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311, or call 763-559-4444. In just a moment, Jan returns with Pastor Jack. Please stay with us.
Thank you for being a part of the Understanding the Times radio family. I hear from many of you who long to hear the truth. Some of you do not have a home church, and others of you have lost friends and family because of your love of the truth. That's what this program tries to give out each week on almost 830 radio stations. Additionally, we had almost 2.5 million electronic downloads from our podcasting audience in 2017. You made that possible, and please consider doing the same in the new year. You can click and make a tax-deductible online donation at olivetreeviews.org or call us business hours, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can always send a tax-deductible check to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. If you do, we'll visit your home regularly in the new year, and we'll await his return together. This is Jan Markell, and our mission as a ministry calls believers to think beyond the news to see how the truth is being dismissed and rejected. Today, when many broadcasters are talking about safety, we are talking about the loss of truth. Thanks for joining me here on this radio station.
Teaching Bible prophecy would be one of the greatest things that a church could do to its congregants because, one, it gives them the hope of Christ's soon coming. Secondly, it motivates them to get the job done. That is to get out there and tell their friends and their family and their coworkers that Jesus Christ is coming. And then thirdly, it brings people great great confidence. Confidence in knowing that God's word never fails. It will never fail because what God has said in the past has been confirmed by his prophetic fulfillment. Study Bible prophecy and get excited about the future.
Understanding the Times continues with Jan Markell and today's radio guest, Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Not far from where we are gathered today, President Harry Truman spoke at the signing of the North Atlantic Treaty. In the nearly 7 decades since Harry Truman spoke those words, the NATO alliance has been the bulwark of international peace and security.
And I believe that under your leadership, this change in our region creates an unprecedented opportunity to strengthen security and advance peace. Let us seize this moment together. Let us bolster security. Let us seek new avenues of peace.
A statement by South Korean President Moon Jae-in Wednesday referred to President Donald Trump's denunciation of North Korean behavior as portraying a firm and specific stance on the key issues regarding keeping peace and safety.
In this half hour, some news affecting our continent. The African Union must work hard and be united in ending conflict. It also has to continue its efforts towards sustainable development, peace and security.
With today's action, I reaffirm my administration's long-standing commitment to a future of peace and security for the region.
Well, that sounds like they're coming right out of the Bible. There's certainly a Bible verse, 1 Thessalonians, talking about when they say peace and safety, peace and security. Actually, it goes on to say sudden destruction will come. Not quite sure exactly the total meaning of that. Does it mean that when the rapture happens, sudden destruction begins? Could be. I don't think we quite know. Remember, if you do write to us, and particularly if you send a gift, would you always tell us what station you listen to across the country? With about 830 stations is helpful in our office routine here to know where you're listening and also what stations you're responding to as far as the programming goes. I'm going to wrap things up this segment with Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. And I gave a tease going out of the last segment. And Jack Hibbs, peace and security, peace and security. Could 2018 be the year? No, I'm just saying it's really going to set the stage for peace and security. And as I teased a few minutes ago, the ultimate deal?
Well, let's apply, Jan, a moment ago what we were talking in our last segment. Let's take a look at this. What do we know for sure? Number one, the Bible tells us that there must be a great demand for peace in the last days because the world is going to be looking to the ultimate peacemaker. We know that as a fact from the Bible. We know that every presidency, every politician has to campaign, speak about, and maintain the perpetual announcement of peace, seeking peace, we'll establish peace, we'll work a deal of peace. Do these things come together? Is there something in the Trump administration that plays into or is in alignment with the prophetic doctrine of this end-time peace? I don't know. But you and I, in our minds, we remember seeing Bush on the White House lawn, right. Reagan, Clinton, on and on it goes. It is the norm for politics to talk this way. However, we're at a time now down the road where there is a greater demand for peace. There's war and the rumors of war. Will this peace come about? Will there be some sort of a peace that's bartered? I don't know. But I personally look at the ultimate, Jan, this is the question. Are we talking about the ultimate peace plan that is going to come from what I believe is the Antichrist? Are we talking about Daniel 9, verses 24 to 27, mm-hmm. where there's that mm-hmm. seven-year treaty right. of peace, where in the middle it's broken by the man who we believe to be the Antichrist? At this moment, I don't believe Donald Trump is the Antichrist, but
no.
are these political movements in a direction that prepares the way? For example, Hitler was not the Antichrist, but a lot of people thought he was. Where are we going with this? Well, this thing we know for sure. The need for peace will increase. The peace that's coming from the Bible, it's going to be a deceptive peace. It's not a God-ordained peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's a peace that deceives. Remember that. The word in Hebrew means that Israel believes that they're dwelling in their land peacefully, but it's an assumed peace. It's not a real peace. So this could be business as usual. It is possible, though. We've got Donald Trump, who is the deal maker, that we push, we see that cart pushed down the road, Jan, further than ever before. It could be a great step towards the ultimate stage setting for that ultimate peace deal.
You know, Jack Hibbs, for at least 8 years, there was really no global leadership. I mean, it was just a vacuum. And obviously, ISIS came along because of that, and other atrocities in other parts of the world, Africa and other places, took place because there was no global leader. Now we've got two or three people vying to be that global leader. We've got Vladimir Putin trying to be a global leader. Certainly, Donald Trump is trying. He's a businessman. He's not a politician, but he's trying to be a global leader because something has to fill a vacuum. And as I said, I think right now Putin and Trump are trying to do it. Other major players, I think Iranian leaders are trying to be a global player. For that matter, the kooky kid in North Korea is trying to be a global leader, even though he'll fail. But nonetheless, he could do some damage in the meantime.
Yeah, and I personally believe, again, I'm a big fan of watching stage setting taking place. This is the way I approach it. Do we not see in the Bible, again, from the book of Daniel, that the world is going to cry for peace and prosperity, and that is the deceptive platform that the Antichrist enters in upon. And so, Jen, you correctly point out, there's a void. There's no Churchill in the world today. There's no Reagan in the world today. There's no Thatcher in the world today. Well, I believe that's for good reason. I believe that the void is setting up the advent of the Antichrist. Yeah. I want to warn myself and others, I'm not a sensationalist, but when I see such a global void and such Middle East turmoil, I'm wondering, Jan, could the Antichrist be alive today somewhere?
Oh, I think so.
Could he be in the hallway somewhere of some place? Is he soon to come? I don't know, but wherever there's a void, and there's a big one out there, that the enemy will come in and fill it.
We have some very charismatic small c leaders in the in Europe right now that I think we need to keep an eye on. Some of them are quite young. They clearly have a shelf life of many decades. Not going to get into naming them at this point, but I think we need to keep an eye on them. Jack, you said something to me off air that I just want to pick up on, and our time is winding down a little bit, but I don't want to let this go. And you said something to me off air about artificial intelligence. Quite frankly, I'm going to spend the hour, or at least part of the hour next weekend, talking to Pastor Billy Crone on artificial intelligence. And you told me something about the 15 to 25-year-old age category, that they think this artificial intelligence is simply awesome. And could this somehow, I'm asking you now, play into the image of the beast, some sort of an end-time role? Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, listen, for most of us listening to this program right now, we're not going to get this, and you need to talk to some young people. This artificial intelligence, you got to understand that for decades, we've been preparing young people to sit in front of their screens. We babysit them now with screens. We go out to dinner, they're looking at a screen. We're driving down the road, they're looking at a screen. To them, in their psyche, in their brain function, this is their reality. And now we come along, and now we have the advent of artificial intelligence to the point where the most famous woman in Saudi Arabia, her name Sophie, is not a woman. She is a robot. Mm-hmm. She's the most famous woman in Saudi Arabia. Sophie's her name. She's a robot. AI in creation. We've got people now. You can put on socks, electronically motivated socks, hands, goggles, headgear, bodysuits. I can't get too graphic. I'll just say that you don't need another human being in your life anymore with the advent of artificial intelligence, conversations, relatability, you name it, it's now happening. The young generation relates more to what is false, to what is imaginary, to what is made up. They communicate efficiently. Listen, I've had young people tell me, this is tragic, regarding artificial intelligence. They can get their answer from Google faster than they can get an answer from God. Yep. They don't need to pray.
They don't need to pray. Of course not.
They don't need to pray, Jen. They just ask Alexa for the answer in their own home. They get instant response. They don't see the need to bow the knee. They don't see the need to talk to an invisible God when they have a God, a lower G, in front of them. This creation, like all gods, man-made gods, this creation tells you what you want to hear. It sanctions what you want to do. It not only allows you to do what you want to do, the young generation loves it because it does it in Technicolor, 3D, 4D, technology. Listen, church cannot compete with that, Jan. The sermon cannot, a youth group cannot compete with that. And yes, I do believe. Remember, the Antichrist, the false prophet, is going to hand over to the Antichrist an image. This image has been given power to speak and to look and to discern who's got the mark, the numerical value, number that gives them worth with a prefix, 666, and then whatever number follows after that. To the young generation of 15 to 25-year-olds today, that is a brilliant idea, makes perfect sense, and they're looking for it.
Like to hear more? Come on out Saturday, September 29th, as Jack Hibbs joins Amir Sarfati, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Pastor Billy Crone, Understanding the Times 2018, just outside Minneapolis in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, Grace Church. We'll have more information on that activity as we move along into the later winter and springtime. We don't have all the details worked out yet. And as some of you know who've been attending, you know we've had some incredible crowding issues the last 2 years. And that's what we're trying to work out as we speak, trying to determine what's the best solution to that problem. We had 6,200 people the last 2 years in a venue for 4,300. So obviously we had some crowding problems, and those of you who attended are well aware of it. Pastor Jack Hibbs, I want to thank you so much for spending some time with me this hour. And I want to go out of the program. Again, Real Life with Jack Hibbs is the place to check out if you'd like more information on a daily or weekly basis other than coming out next fall. I want to go out of the program. You know, we've said nothing this hour to scare you, only to prepare you. We really want to prepare your heart. Prepare to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Call on his name today. Make him the Lord of your life so that you too can expectantly say that the end is just the beginning of the glorious life we have waiting for us in eternity. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every weekend, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour, pointing out the dangers in today's culture and bringing hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're asking you to join us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also welcome at olivetreeviews.org or by phone when you dial 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Jan Markell returns next week with another information and inspiration-packed hour, designed to help you understand the times.